I think today many people are operating under a lot of pressure. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, how to handle the pressures of life. You know, because of this coronavirus, a lot of people have become unemployed, and they're having to pay bills, and they have health issues, and people are wondering if anything will ever get back to normal. It will. You know, you can have what you say. Come on now. Some of these people keep saying the wrong thing. We need to say the right thing in line with the Word of God. And, you know, people are under pressure because they don't know what the future holds. And, man, there is all kinds of responses and opinions and reactions from people, especially on social platforms. And then don't get me wrong, I believe in these professionals, but sometimes I wonder if they know what they're doing, because one of the main ones said back in February, oh, nothing to worry about. Then he said, don't do any good to wear a mask. Then he turns around, come back and says, wear a mask. Come on now. Let's get real about this. When it all said and done, the only thing that will stand in anything is this Word of God right here. It never changes. How many times have you noticed that they have changed their opinion about stuff on this? You know, they were talking about how many people was going to die and hadn't even come close to that. Come on. Somebody be looking at me funny, but it's the truth anyway. And somebody said, well, you know, this is going out on the YouTube, and you probably, you know, people won't like it. Well, that's their problem, not mine. I'm a free person, and according to our Constitution, we have a right of free speech. Although we have some of our politicians that are trying to take it away from us. Come on now. I get myself in trouble here if I'm not careful. You know, how we respond to pressure will actually tell us our outcome. You know, some people, when there's a crisis and the pressure, they respond in a healthy way. But there are others that react in an unhealthy way. You know, basically, when people get under pressure, you really find out who they really are. Their true self comes out. Anybody ever notice that? You know, and when the person gets under pressure, if they have underlying issues, they're going to show up. But if you develop solid character traits, you've developed that's in the natural, in the spiritual, if you've developed a solid spiritual foundation based on the Word of God, you'll respond to pressure and situations in the correct way. You know, I served 3 years in Uncle Sam's Army, but one of the things we were taught, and they drilled it in our head, never panic under pressure. Keep your head. If you don't, you will make a wrong decision, because when you panic, you cannot make a decision based on solid fact, and you'll get yourself or your unit in trouble. You know, what's going to happen? Are we going to come out of this pandemic? We will. There's some people that are predicting that we won't, but I believe that as we follow God, that we don't have to be under all this pressure that everybody else is under. Somebody said, well, you don't seem to be. Well, I'm concerned that people are getting ill. I'm concerned that loved ones are passing. But somebody said, well, you're in that vulnerable age. Well, I may be, but I'm not going to get anything. See, people got to learn how to stand on God's word. I've been standing on God's word all these years. I'm not about to change now. I got to where I am today because of standing on the word of God. quoting the Word of God in the face of every kind of opposition that you're going to name. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9, it says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed." This is Paul talking. "We are perplexed, but not driven to despair." I'm reading the NLT. "We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we're not destroyed." Now, the Message version says it like this: "We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken." Come on now. Then the Passion Bible says it this way: "Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option." I like that. "We're persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us." Now, I like this one right here: "We may be knocked down, but not out." See, like the old boy gets knocked down in the first round of the boxing match. He gets up and wins the match. He may have been knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. Here, Paul is talking about handling difficult situations. And I believe if anybody has a right to talk about difficult situations, if you'll go read 2 Corinthians 11:20-28, you'll find out that Paul had all kinds of difficulties and different kind of pressure situations. But isn't it interesting that he let none of those affect how his walk with God, what he believed, and what he preached? I've noticed that sometimes, and I've been in this all my life. I was born on a Sunday in the church the next Sunday, and I've been here all my life. But I've noticed that in church, a lot of people, they'll talk this and talk that, but when the pressure comes, they change their tune. Oh, that's a bad place to get quiet. The word pressure, as defined by the dictionary, it says the burden of physical and mental distress, the constraint of circumstance, the weight of social or economic imposition. You know, there's all kinds of pressure that we have. You know, there's a pressure of performing your job. There's a pressure of finances. Of course, we all have that one. There's a pressure of what goes on around in our little world where we live. I'm not talking about the whole world. I'm talking about our little world we live. And then there is pressure of what goes on in our government. You know, that's just a few examples of the pressure in the natural that we come under. And we, as born again Christians, the devil comes to us with all kinds of different pressures to try to get us out of believing what God's word says. Now, here's a question for you, okay? What will you do when the pressure is on? Will you become overwhelmed and become passive and not deal with anything? That's the way some people handle pressure. They just don't deal with it. Will you explode and lash out at everybody and everything, even when they didn't have anything to do with it? Have you ever seen people that do that? I got 4 or 5 people raise their hand. I've seen that. Or will you do what a lot of people do when the pressure and situations and trouble come? They internalize it until they cause their own self a physical problem. And then some people will become chemically dependent upon prescription drugs or some other stimulant. So now the question is, what do we do when the pressure is on? Well, let me respond to that by asking you a question. It's a question that my dad would ask. If you ask him that particular question or another question, he would look at you straight in the eye and would not mince his words. He would say, "What does the word say?" I've said to him, growing up in his house, get into my teenage years, and you begin to know what's going on in the house and some of the financial problems and stuff. And he said, "Oh, Dad, what are we going to do?" And he looked at me and said, "Son, what does the word say?" If I've heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. And you know what? When I face a situation today in my living, as I run the ministry, as I have my personal life with my family, and there's a situation or pressure comes in my head, I hear the sound of my Father's voice saying, "What does the word say, son? What does the word say, son?" Now let's look at several things that we can get from the word. I mean, there's 1,000 things that you can get from the word to deal with pressure. But tonight I want to just go into a few. First of all, when pressure comes, you need to remember your identification in Christ. That's why it's so important to know the in him realities, who you are in Christ. And we all know 2 Corinthians 5:17, this anyone who is in Christ has become a new person. Old things are gone. All things have become new, or we have a new life. When pressure comes, begin to rethink, relive the days of your salvation. Relive the days of when the Lord delivered you from something. Remember that wonderful feeling. Remember the joy in your heart when you first realized you were a new person. You weren't the same old person anymore. Remember the peace that came in your heart when you knew that Jesus had control of everything in your life. See, we need to get established in our identity of who we are in Christ. When we begin to understand who we are in Christ, we will not respond to a situation the way other people do. Even other Christians. There are many, many Christians that are born again, but they do not understand their privileges and rights of being in Christ. Although they will say, "I'm born again, I'm in Christ," but they don't understand who they are in Christ. You see, we need to understand what Christ did on the cross for us, and we accepted that. It changed everything. We were unrighteous, but now we're righteous in the sight of God. We were weak, but now we are strong in Christ. And we could go on and on. But there's a little chorus that we sing. All of you going to know as soon as I say, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name." You need, when the pressure's on, you need to start singing that. We need to become strong in our identification with Christ, because when we begin to realize who we are in Christ and our authority, then the pressure goes out the window, because we don't have to take it. He does. See, we need to begin to confess, "I am a new person in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." We need to rely upon who we are in Christ when we're facing pressure, and let him take care of it, according to 1 John 4:4. greater is the one that's on the inside of us than whatever we're facing, whatever pressure, whatever situation, whatever circumstance. You see, and then we need to remember that God is with us and He wants us to do His will. And in Romans 12, 2, and NLT said, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, understanding who you are in Christ then will change the way you think, so you won't think when the pressure hits, you'll think differently. Then you'll learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I like what the Message Bible says. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture you fit into it without even thinking. And that's happening to a lot of people today, even a lot of Christians. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of maturity, God brings out the best in you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. Now, many times when you start talking about the will of God, everybody begins to think about ministry. Well, that's just part of it. Actually, God tells us through John that, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, God is saying here that He wants us to prosper in all areas of our life. In fact, that's what John 10:10 says, that He has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay? He wants us to be healthy and strong. And we need to realize God has a plan for all of us. Some are called to ministry. Others are called to another kind of vocation or profession. So every time you talk about the will of God, everybody immediately starts talking about ministry. Well, that's part of it. Some have their own ministry. Some have their own businesses. Some have their own companies. Other people are employees. You know, all of us work with God as He directs us. You know, some person said, God's blueprint on your life is like a fingerprint. There's not another like it. You know, we need to realize in Psalms 37:23 says, the Lord directs the step of the godly. He delights in every detail of our lives. Many people got the wrong idea, and they talk about the fact, oh yeah, the ministry, that's where it's at. No, it's not. Only if you get a call there. There's a lot of people that would like to be in the ministry, but that's not what God called them to, but they're trying to be in the ministry anyway, and they're a mess. Whoa, I don't get no amens on that, I can tell you. But many people see the glamour of being up here on the platform, but they don't see what has to go on in the background. All they see is the glamour of being the pastor. You didn't see today, as Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise and even Lynette, I didn't because I was getting ready for tonight, that they spent hours working on plans so that we can open up the church. And then you called people and they said, no, I won't be back to August when it's all over. You know, there's a lot that goes on to this, people. Come on now. But there's a lot that goes on in your life wherever God's got you. He's got all of us doing something somewhere. He may have you working in a plant. He may have you having your own business. There's many of you that will touch people's lives many more than I will ever touch in your personal touch with them out there. I mean, what would happen if we didn't have no farmers? Where would your food come from? What would happen if we didn't have no ranchers raising some cattle or raising some pigs or some chickens? See, because some people don't like beef. They like only chicken. I don't particularly like chicken. My wife. I like beef. Most people from Texas eat beef. But you see, the Lord directs us. And we need to just go with him and not try to get out of where he's got us. My dad used to say, more people try to get into something else, and that's not where God wants them in the first place. He used to say that a lot of people are sitting on a pew trying to get off of the pew, and they need to stay where they're at, doing what God's got them doing, helping the pastor with what he's doing. See, the same God that created all of this, that stepped out on the edge of space and spoke everything into existence, is the same God that is directing your life. Whatever it is, don't let anything stop you. You know, now, some people move because the pressure comes. If you do that, you're going to be manipulated by Satan himself. Some people, the way they get out from under something is to not deal with it. When the pressure comes, they just move. Come on now. Y'all awful quiet tonight. Anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying? See, sometimes doors open and it's a mistake. You need to mean to check it out. Just because it looks good, smells good, and you think it's good, you better check it out. It may not be for you. And anytime you make a move, make sure you're not moving because of the pressure. Come on now. Now, let's look at something else that the Apostle Paul did under pressure. We learn how to handle it. Paul declared that God was faithful at all times. In the pressure, in the good times, in the bad times. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. The message says, but the master never lets us down. He'll stick by you and protect you from evil. You see, I like this. I like that. And now I go back. I pick up the 91st Psalm. No plague shall come nigh me. Hello. I pray it every day when I pray over my food. I pray the 91st Psalm. Over all of my family, I call every one of them's name personally, call their name. And then I say, and I agree with all of my church members that are claiming the 91st Psalm over there. And then I say, I agree with all of the Kenneth Hagin Ministry partners that are claiming that. You see, I can't claim it for you, but I can agree with you. So you need to do it for yourself. I claim it. I claim it every day when I get up, but especially when I use that. See, I use my time when I'm praying over my meals. I make some of my confessions. I thank the Lord for things. That's a great time to do it. Hello. You know, Paul said God is faithful and you can depend on him. He is always faithful in every situation. It's you that starts trying to figure it out yourself instead of just relaxing and say, okay, Lord, you got to take care of this. I can't. But because the pressure's on, you begin to try to figure out what you could do. I could do this. I could do the other. I could do something else. No, just relax and say, all right, Lord, I don't know what to do. That's the first thing. Many people don't like to admit that they don't know what to do. They say, hey, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm going to turn this over to you and let you handle it. See, he will never, 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 never let you down. You know, Paul said it in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul was always declaring who he was in Christ, what he had in Christ, what he could do because he was in Christ. Paul was always thanking God for victory. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:57, we know it. You all know it. But thanks be to God who gives us victory over sin, death through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphant possession. You need to realize God is there to help you. Now, he's not going to knock the door down. The devil knocks the door down and comes in and takes over. You have to invite God in. You have to ask him. Come on. See, when the pressure is turned on, there's three things that you've got to do. Number one, believe what the Word of God says about whatever your situation is. Number two, declare it with your mouth what the Word says about your situation. Now, my dad used to, he'd tickle me. People come up to him, Brother Hagin, will you pray with me about so-and-so? This was when he was pastoring. And I was nine years old. And I always would stand close by. And he'd say, well, what scripture are you standing on? Well, I'm just reading the Word and quoting the Word of God. He said, I don't do no good. He said, you got to find scriptures dealing with your problem. If it's finances, if it's healing, if it's safety, if it's whatever. And say those scriptures. You know, a fella, he needed healing, but he's thanking God because he's financially blessed. Well, thank God for finances, but when you need healing, you don't need to put in a quote scriptures about finances. You need scriptures on healing. Hello. See, declaring with your mouth out loud. You know, some people say, oh, praise the Lord. They need nobody around. They're by themselves. Hey, even if somebody's around, you need to be able to lift your voice. You know, some people say, well, I don't want the devil to hear me. Well, man, that's who you want. You want him to know that you know who you are in Christ and what your authority is. Come on. And then by doing what the Word says. Doing these things will help you to deal with pressure, both in the spiritual and the natural. Because of who we are in Christ, we have what the Word says. What the Word says. The Word says it, I believe it, that settles it. So, I confess the Word. You need to confess the Word over your life every day. And if it's a particular situation, then quote a scripture for that situation. If it's up, you just, I thank the Lord every day. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad. Is it always a good day if you look at it naturally? No, but it's a good day because it's the day of the Lord made, and he'll take me through whatever situation that comes my direction, whatever thing comes my way, he'll take me through it. There's no use of me getting under pressure. That's why Peter says, roll your cares over on the Lord. Let him take care of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I got long enough. Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that as we get a hold of the Word of God, we can stand against the pressures that are coming against us, whatever they may be. I thank you, Father, that people will take what is said tonight, whatever part they need, put it in their life, put it in action, and see the victory. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, did you get anything tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, y'all all know, Pastor, I never like to preach unless I give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or to rededicate their life to God. And because we can't have a regular altar call, we will just do and for you that are watching, if you don't know Jesus or you need to rededicate your life, and you say, what do you mean rededicate? I mean, you once knew what it is to serve God, but you're just not walking where you need to be walking with Him, and you need to rededicate. Let's everybody say that together, and if that's you, well, you just claim, you say it. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ that came to this world. He lived and He died on the cross and He rose again for my salvation. You said in your holy word that if I would believe that in my heart and confess that with my mouth, I will be saved. I'm confessing it with my mouth, and you heard me say it with my mouth, and I thank you now that I am a new person in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, we'll be here again Sunday morning right here. Come, get the other people to come. Hey, for you that are watching, it's all right to come. You'll be all right. We do what they told us to do. You go to the grocery store and you go other places and you get closer to people in the grocery store and you're going to get to them here in the church. Come on now. I don't know why some of you out there are so afraid. Now, if you're in that category that needs to stay, fine. Hey, I have no problem with that. But if you just, you know, if you go in the grocery store and you say, well, I'm afraid to come to church, something's the matter. You need to change your thinking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we'll be here Sunday morning,